Thy will be done. This is a line from the Lord's Prayer. And this is what all churches claim that they want. They want His will to be done. This is what Christians claim that they want. They want God's will and not theirs. This is what parents say that how they want to raise their kids. They want to raise them to follow after God and not after all the other stuff that the world has to offer. And when we say thy will be done, we're saying that we're committing our lives, our resources, our hearts, our thoughts to honoring our Heavenly Father. We're saying that He's the one that's sovereign and not us. Great. What's His will? If we're saying we want His will, then what is it? Can we find that out? I think so. I actually think it's quite obvious. If you turn to Revelation chapter 21, and beginning with verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John the Revelator. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and so had the sea. Then I saw New Jerusalem, that holy city, coming down from God in heaven. It was like a bride dressed in her wedding gown and ready to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice shout from the throne, God's home is now with His people. He will live with them, and they will be His own. Yes, God will make His home among His people. He will wipe all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, suffering, crying, or pain. These things of the past are gone forever. Then the one sitting on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write down what I have said. My words are true and can be trusted. Everything is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give water from the life-giving fountain to everyone who is thirsty. All who win the victory will be given these blessings. I will be their God and they will be my people. This is the new heaven. And John was called not only to be a witness to all of this, which must have been mind-blowing, but to write this stuff down to the best that his vocabulary could muster, and to the best of his illustrative ability. So we have a holy city. And we know that holy means consecrated, adorned in honor. The very presence of sin, not just the penalty, not just the power, the very presence of it is obliterated. This is perfect. And out of this city, in the center of it, is a tabernacle. And our Lord is actually tabernacling with his people. We're all encamped together. And it's not that he has to protect us from anything. It's because he wants to commune with all of his kids. But then he approaches those that are sorrowful, those that are grieving. And he takes a hand and literally wipes away tears from their eyes. He is there to blot out, to erase anguish, any trouble. Now, this weeping is not a result of present sin. It's not the result of ignorance. I think it's a result of heartache that his children still feel. Perhaps it's a regret. For after the book of life was opened up and all was revealed, perhaps there was some twinges of pain. Lord, I could have, should have, would have done that differently. There are family and friends that should be here and they're not. And the Lord just simply approaches and says, you're here, I'm here. I love you. I adore you. You're my child. It's okay. But he doesn't stop there. He then opens up a fountain and gives that refreshing water to any that are thirsty. So that water comes in and quenches that inner thirst. Quite a picture. And I asked the question earlier, what does his will actually look like? Well, I think the take-home lesson that John was supposed to write, notice the order in which he writes this. We start out with a surrounding city that is dropping down to the new earth. It's this huge city. In the very next line is the tabernacle within a city. Then you bring God not just from the city into the tabernacle, but now he's standing with you, in front of you, literally touching your face. And then his gift to you in the next line is to quench the thirst within. God's increasing closeness, his increasing intimacy is his will. We have a Father that first surrounds us, then communes with us, then touches us, and finally fills us. He wills to be closer. We're created. creatures that have these personal spaces, in that new heaven, on that day, we won't need that personal space of protection. And you know something? We don't need that personal space from him now. We like to do that, though. We want to say, Lord, we don't want you to come into this part of my heart. I'm guarding that. I've been hurt here. I got a wall for a reason. Or we like to have a narrow scope of how and where we're going to direct our lives, our careers, where we're going to live, what we're going to do. Shoot, we even do that with ministries. I know exactly the plan that I have for this particular ministry, Lord, and if you just give me what I'm asking for on my list in order, then I can make it happen, for you, of course. Why don't we just dispel with all of that? If we're really taught by Jesus to say, thy will be done, and if his will is to be closer to us, why can't we just simply surrender and let him have that? Wouldn't our lives be better? Isn't a God that's more real? The one that goes with us as we drive to and from work? As the one that we can talk to when we're doing the dishes or the laundry. What about a God that's so real to us that we ask him to help us do something so mundane as changing a light fixture? Why do we tend to think that that sounds a little ridiculous? Thy will be done. He wants unity. Us with him, him with us, just as it was the Son and the Father, the Holy Spirit. We can have that closeness. We don't have to wait until that day. We can have a closer relationship with him today. He wants to be closer now. Thy will be done on earth. And he wants that closeness in the everlasting, as it is in heaven. That's what he wants. Question is, are we going to let him have that? Do we really mean, thy will be done? Lord, we come to you today and we admit that we have personal space issues when it comes to you. We've put you in a box and we've claimed that here's how you will operate. Here's how we expect you to operate. Here's how we understand you operate. And for some crazy reason, when we live with that God in a box. You don't seem as real. And we feel disappointed, a sense of loss, like we missed something. It's not your fault, it's ours. And we pray that when we think on the words that Jesus commanded his disciples when they asked, Lord, teach us to pray. When we think about those words, thy will be done, we will remember what the ministry was for. It was to restore us and reclaim us to the kingdom. It was to restore and reclaim the relationship with you the way it once was. Thy will be done. And we ask that if there is anything in us that's holding that back, that you would come and scorch that out. Because what we want ultimately is the everlasting life with you. And we know that that's what you've wanted for us from the beginning. That's why you created us. You have always been in the family business, and somehow we became runaways. We don't want to run anymore, except toward you, to a closer walk with you, a tighter hug around your neck, and for you to fill us with your love, with your Holy Spirit, with your gifts, with your sanctifying power. Thy will be done, Lord. Not only in our service to you this day, but every day. Lord, teach us. Thy will be done.